You want to make this announcement? So you're starting to remind me about this guy who went in for an interview for to be a police officer. The fellow asked him, what would you do if you had to arrest your mother? He said, I'd call for backup. I don't need that backup right now. Well, I want to begin to share with you this morning some things that we talked about last week. We have been talking about our purpose in life, what God has placed us here for, why God has placed you on the planet for this specific time, why God has put you here, or you put it another way, what problem God has given you to solve. Because we've all been placed on this planet for a reason. We've all been put here for a season, and God wants us to fulfill the reason that He placed in us. He wants us to fulfill our destiny or our purpose or our plan or our calling that He gave us. I like to think about our time here on earth like this, that God has cut out a time period for us to be here at this time in 2015, that you as an individual have been placed on planet Earth at this time for a purpose to do your part in extending the kingdom of Jesus here on Earth, extending the kingdom of God. And it is important for us to be able to know what particular part we play in that process. So we've been talking about purpose, about discovering our purpose. And sometimes we can go into things without knowing our purpose, and it can be a difficult time. It can be a time where we start out to do something and we have great enthusiasm to do it, and then we get into it and we lose that enthusiasm. And that's because somehow we've got messed up in our purpose. We don't really know what our calling is, and so we don't just start out and just try to do something. I remember, like, when I was in a house and doing some work in renovating a home. And when we lived out in Disable, we had this big home, and there was this room in it that wasn't finished at all. And I would go in there and I'd look around and think, this could make a nice family room. So I could rip the walls down and change it all around and cause it to become really, really nice. And I was thinking about that. And then I went at it with great gusto, and I ripped all the plaster off the walls. All the plaster, old plaster that's full of horsehair that holds it together. You know, years ago, that's what they put in it to hold it together. I ripped all that down and put it all in bags, and oh, it was dusty. It was, by the time I got it all ripped down, by the time I got it all put in bags, that was enough for me. I was done. I was ready to quit. My enthusiasm had completely gone. I just thought, this is not my calling. This is not the purpose why I've been here. And so that can happen when we're outside of our purpose. You know, some things we have to do, but when we're in, when we find our purpose, when we find our calling, it's such a greater joy to be able to do it and to fulfill it. For instance, if somebody, a carpenter, a person who was called to be a carpenter, a person who was called in the construction work, a person who was called to do that sort of thing, they might work through that and they'd realize right from the very beginning, well, yeah, this is going to be nasty and this is going to be dirty, but I have the strength to go through that. I can do that. I can walk through that because that's his calling. They can see the end from the beginning and keep the end focus in mind so that they have the strength to go through it. When you're in your calling, it's amazing the strength that can be given you in order to be able to finish the project that you started. You will find your purpose has actually divine strength when you step into it. Samson had divine strength from God to fulfill his purpose, his plan. When he came into this world, when Samson was born into this world, he was born into this world with a specific calling. He was to be a judge for the nation of Israel. And all through that period of his life, he had strength in him to fulfill the things that God had called him to. And it's interesting, if you read this in the book of Judges, you will also find out that even when Samson was missing it, his gift there, his calling was still there, and what he needed to fulfill his calling was still there. Samson, when he, even at the very end of his life, when it seemed like everything was hopeless, God gave him an opportunity to finish his calling, to complete his calling, to judge those who were oppressors of Israel. He was able to finish it, even in the midst of the trial that he was in. If you know the story, you know that he was blind at the very end of his life, but somehow he got to the point where he was positioned to be able to bring judgment on the oppressors of Israel. There are many people who go through life without finding their calling. There may be many people who start out, and because of things that have happened in their life, because of circumstances in their life, they never really find their calling. Kenneth Hagin used to talk about how he had a vision many years ago. He had a visitation of the Lord. Of course, he's gone to heaven now. But at one point, he had a vision of the Lord, and the Lord told him that there was going to be a shift in his ministry, that there was going to be things that would cause him to be launched in a bit of a different direction. And the Lord told him that when this happens, you will be entering in the first phase of your ministry. And Brother Hagin said, well, what do you mean the first phase of my ministry? I've already been a pastor for 12 years. You mean I haven't been even in my calling yet? I haven't even been in my purpose yet? And he said that the Lord said to him, don't be concerned about that. Most people start out in their lives and die without ever entering into their first phase of their purpose. How sad that is, eh? How sad that is when we don't make a concerted effort to find out what kind of calling or purpose that God has for us, the reason that God has for you and I being here. Now, for the sake of the term purpose, your calling in life, this is the definition that we want to use. The purpose for which we have been called. Purpose meaning the reason for which something or someone exists. You ever ask you that question? Ever ask yourself that? Why do I exist? Why am I here? Why was I put here? What is the reason? What is the purpose for my existence? It's important to try to have an understanding of that. And that's the definition that we're going to use. You know, the God being the greatest designer that ever was, he designed you and I for a purpose. He has a calling for you and I. And if he designed us for a purpose, then he placed something in us to enable us to accomplish that purpose. We talked about 5 points to identifying your purpose. We mentioned that last week, and we went over a couple of them last week. One of them was, the first one was, read Scripture and pray. Read Scripture and pray so that you might know the characteristics of your designer. That's one of the key ways of understanding what God has called you to. You have to know something about the guy who called you. You have to know something about the guy that has called you. Number two was seek godly input. Other people will see things in you that you don't recognize. By seeking godly input or godly counsel, having discussions with someone else, with others, sharing with others what means the most to you will help you flush out your calling, your purpose, will help you understand your purpose. And we gave you some sheets last week to do some work with, to kind of study on, and we gave them out so that it might help you develop your purpose. And we want to give out some more sheets today. Actually, last week's is on one side, and this week's is on this side. And we'd like to give this out again so that you can kind of go through it and help develop or discover your purpose. Many of you have made comments and told me about what you have did and what you experienced through it and that it was of value to it. So we want to pass out another one. Claude, can you help me and just distribute those? As I say, the last Sunday's was on one page, one side, and this Sunday's worksheet is on the other side. You see, I believe that as a people of God, we don't want to just come to church and hear a great sermon. Not that I'm able to deliver a great sermon, but I haven't heard in the past in some of our service after we come out and say, boy, that was a powerful service. You know, I love to hear that, and I love it when people have a sense of a powerful service, a powerful worship time, it was a powerful message delivered. I love to hear that, but I often wondered, okay, what did you take from it and what are you going to put into practice? What difference is it going to make in your life? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to understand is what is the difference that's going to make in your life because of the experience that you just went through? And so that's why we're trying to be interactive here and help you develop in these areas, or help you to develop your purpose. Find out what your purpose is. I don't care what age you're at, what stage you're at in life, you have a purpose. And if you've never moved toward your purpose before, you can start today and start moving toward your purpose. You see, you might look at it that I need my whole life to fulfill this purpose. Listen, if God is on your side, if God is moving with you, you'll be able to fulfill that purpose a whole lot quicker. Yeah, he can help you. He can empower you. So we want to participate in that and try to help you to develop or understand or reveal your purpose. Now this week we will address point number 3 and point number 4. Point number 3 is inventory of your past. We'll talk about that in a minute. And point number 4 is do something. Do something. Inventory of your past simply means that you go back into your past, or you look at the things that have happened to in your life in the past to see what has gotten you to the place where you are today. Hopefully there's some good things in the past that you can address, that you can look toward. You can pay attention to the things that help you develop some of the things that you are enjoying in your life today. One of the things that you can look at and taking an inventory of the past is, what do you enjoy? What kind of thing do you find is fulfilling you? A couple of weeks ago, we had Elizabeth Waugh here. We were talking about how she was ministering in the seniors' home. And she talked about how she had such a sense of fulfillment whenever she went to those seniors' homes. Well, her past kind of led her in that direction. She was a nurse for many years, and she loved speaking with the elderly people and ministering to the elderly people even back then when she was a nurse. Well, today it led her now into these homes, these nursing homes, where to watch her, it's just a blessing to watch her. She has such a sense of fulfillment. It's not a job to her at all. It's not something that she has to do. She just enjoys getting down there with the elderly people and being able to speak right to them, talk to them, and let them know that they're important, even though they're still in their homes. And her past helped her lead her to that position today. When I seen her doing it immediately, I knew she was a whole lot better at it than me. And so she's doing that today, and that's a wonderful, wonderful experience of what can happen when we find our purpose. Part of my past inventory would be that I was a farmer at one point. I was a construction worker. I was a builder at one point. I did a lot of things, and these things were all part of my past. And when I look at some of the things of my past that got us where we are today, when we got into this building, when we got into this land, this 70 acres of land, and we had no building on it, we looked at architectural drawings, and some architects were saying, well, it's going to cost you $10,000 or more just to get an architect drawing, and it was nothing that they would draw under $1 million. Well, we weren't ready for that then. We weren't ready. We weren't at that point. And so I wasn't afraid, because of my past experience, I wasn't afraid to say, well, let's just dig a hole and start. Let's just dig a hole and get started. Because we were determined we weren't going to go to the bank to build the buildings. So let's just dig a hole and do what we can. We had, I don't know, at that time, I think we had about $150,000 to start with. So I thought, let's just start. And we started. And we continued to grow, and we just kept on going until finally we have the building that we are in today. You see, my past helped me get where we are today. And your past will help you if you take inventory of it, excuse me, and look and see some of the good things that happened in your life in order to be able to get you to where you want to go. Now, when you look at your inventory, there will be some things that you will want to magnify, but there'll be some things that you will want to get rid of. There'll be some things that you'll want to let go. I know, I look at my past and sure was some things I want to let go. And it's some of the faults that we might have in our lives. You know, the book of Ephesians 4:28 says that we are to lie no longer. In other words, steal. If we stole things in the past, don't steal. Don't be a stealer anymore. If you robbed things in the past, don't be a robber anymore. That's pretty obvious. It's not difficult to discern that. Well, if you're a liar, for instance, well, where you want to go, don't be a liar anymore. If you're good at lying, you see, What do you mean, Pastor Bill, good at lying? Well, there's some people that are so good at lying, they believe their own lies. You know anybody like that? There's some people who have done us so much, when you confront them that they were told, that they told a lie, they almost act surprised. They almost act surprised. But when you start to explain the circumstances around it to prove to them that it was a lie, then they finally admit, well, yeah, I guess it was a lie. But they're just so good at it. And when you get somebody that's so good at lying that they believe their own lies, you want to be careful of them, because they can trick you, because their sincerity will fool you. Those things you want to leave behind. Those things you want to get rid of when you take an inventory of the past. But there are some good things. There are some good things that can help you to fulfill your purpose in life. There are some good things that can take place. There's some good things that can help propel you, excuse me, in where God wants you to go. But there are some good things that can keep you from God's design as well. There are some good things that can sidetrack you. I remember years ago, I know that when I got saved, I know that God put something in me that was different. And the reason why I knew that is because my love for the scriptures and my desire to experience God, and I was having such an awesome time in God, realizing that I didn't have to die and go to hell. That was just thrilling me. I was so excited about that. And I had such a thirst for the word that I didn't see in other people. And so I knew that there was something different. I didn't see that in people who were Christian then, and they were there Christian for a long time, and I didn't figure out that they were really born again too. In fact, after I got saved, I didn't go to church for probably 3 months, because I didn't know that anybody else had an experience the same as I did. But even when I went to church, I still didn't really see anybody that I could identify with that was experiencing the same thing that was going on the inside of me. Mike, you could tell the same story. And so I knew there was something different, that God had a call upon my life that was different. But during the circumstances in life, at that particular time, I couldn't run off and try to fulfill that call, because I had a family to support, and I had to do some work and try to discover some things on my own. And at that particular time, we had a difficult time financially, we actually lost our home and our farm at the time, and I started up another business. And I was giving everything I got in that, I had to give in that business. I really did. I was doing everything I knew how to do, and I was doing everything I was told I had to do. And after I worked at it for years and really gave it all I had, the guy who was mentoring me, who had been in this for years, he said, I've never seen anybody put so much into it and do the things that you're supposed to do and have such little success. That's what he said. And when he said that, I just kind of lost any of my enthusiasm that I had mustered up. But now when I look back at that, I think if I would have been real successful at that, that would have affected me to where I'm at today. It would have affected me and probably hindered me of getting to where I am today. Actually, I was saved in 1980. I didn't start into full-time ministry till 15 years later. And I like to say, when I was in training for ministry, these are the things that happened. Because God was training me all those years through many disappointments. But I'll tell you one thing, when we reached a certain point, when things started turning around, every breath I took after that was recognizing the blessing of God is upon my life. Something happened. Something turned around somewhere, sometime, that it seemed like there was such a sense of fulfillment because of what God had led me to. You see, in the midst of searching where God is taking us, we have to be willing to let some things go. And some things, we have to be careful to not have some things in our life that can divert us from God's true purpose. Because God's purpose is the best purpose. That's number three. Number four, do something to discover your purpose. What's it mean to do something to discover your purpose? Write something down, what you think gives you purpose. And you might say, I can't think of anything. Well, just write something. Just do something. Write something down. You can pick something that you don't necessarily have a real great revelation about, but pick something Start somewhere. You know, whether it's make somebody a coffee this week that you don't usually make a coffee for, go visit somebody, volunteer at a hospital, do something, start out somewhere, because God can't move a ship at the dock, or can't steer a ship at the dock. You have to be moving. You have to be moving in order to find your purpose. I was looking at this and I was thinking, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we've been teaching, we have taught about the gift of prophecy and about learning how in the gift of prophecy. And sometimes in the gift of prophecy, if you're really praying and seeking God of how to learn to speak an encouraging word to somebody else by the Spirit of God, then you just start out sometimes of what comes to your mind. You just step out there. And because you're in a learning process, and this is a safe place to do that. Well, when it comes to your purpose, sometimes you just have to start out. You just have to write something down. You have to do something in order to get things going. You cannot progress down a path unless you're moving. Do something. I remember one time when I was a kid, my brother and I, it was in the wintertime, my brother and I had this horse out. And Dad had horses, and we used to drive in with sleds. And he had this horse that we could hitch up all the time and take him throughout the day. And this particular day was a beautiful day, so we hitched that horse up, and we ran with him all that into the woods, and we'd go back. And that night, you know, those bright, bright evenings in the wintertime, sometimes a full moon, and this kind of a night it was, and Dad and Mom were going out, and the last thing they said to us before they left said, "We're going out now tonight, and I don't want you to take that horse out tonight. You had the horse out today, I don't want you to take him out again." So, okay, we went to the barn, and of course, we're looking for something to do. We're looking for some fun. And so, we had a purpose, and the purpose was to have fun. And so we went to the barn. And so we started looking at the horse there. We knew we couldn't take this one out, and this other one, we wouldn't dare touch that one. That one was too wild. But there was this steer that was there that was in the stall. And so we decided that, I wonder what the collar would look like in that steer, a horse's collar looked like in that steer. So we put the collar on, and then we thought, I wonder what it looked like if we had the hames on it and the rest of it. And the first thing you know, we had that steer all hitched up in the stall, and it looked pretty good. And so we decided, I wonder what that steer would do in the sled. And I don't know if you know what a bobsled is today. You know, most of us, if you think of bobsled, you think of those things that they race down the chute. But no, this is a horse bobsled. And they had two parts to it. The first part was just the front part turned, and then there was chains hooked up to the back part. So they weren't all together. It was for hauling wood out of the woods. And of course, years ago, it would burn wood in the fire. And so we decided to take the bobsled and drag it out into the deep, deep snow so that steer wouldn't go wild on us before we got the steer hitched up. So that's what we did. We took the steer out of the barn, and we were surprised. It was pretty docile. And we were surprised. We took the animal out and took it into the snow bank and then hitched the thing all up, and it was really quiet. We were amazed. And I told my younger brother, I said, "You stand here at the front, and I'll sit in the front bobsled with the reins, and whenever I'm ready, I'll say, 'Let her go.'" And so everything was going real good, and I got back there and sat back there. It was all set, and I said, "Okay, let him go." And whenever he let him go, that steer took off. Now, I had told my brother, "When that steer takes off, when we're going by you, you jump on to the back bobsled." So that's what he did. And so he jumped on there, and that steer just took off, jumped out of the deep snow and got some traction and started running around the barn. And around the barn, there was a great big bank of snow there, and we were going around real fast. And of course, I couldn't steer the thing. The thing was just going wherever it wanted. So running around, I was coming a little bit close to the back corner of the barn, and the back bobsled hit that corner of the barn. My last thing I seen, my brother was going over the snowbank. And I got further around, and I seen a big mistake that we made. We left the barn door open. And guess where that steer was headed? It was running for all it was worth into that barn. And the thing went through the door, and the sled got caught in the door. The steer went down, and the horses were all right in front of us, and they started going nuts, and we just freaked. We didn't know what to do. Amazingly, we eventually got the thing unhitched, and got the thing put away. And when it was all said and done, I want you to know we fulfilled the purpose of having fun. We had a blast. I mean, it was terrifying at times, but we had a blast. We talked about that for a long time. It was a fun time. We fulfilled our purpose. But we had to start out. We started out just putting the collar on the animal and seeing, went a little further, went a little further, went a little further. And we got some excitement out of it. You see, you have to start out. You have to start doing something. It's not good enough to say that I want to fulfill my purpose and then don't do nothing about fulfilling your purpose. We have to begin the process of starting out. God is calling us to do things. You'll remember in the book of Luke where 10 lepers came to Jesus, and Jesus just simply spoke a word to them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, why did they show themselves to the priest? They had to go to show themselves to the priest because under the law of Moses, which Jesus was under the law of Moses, somebody who was healed of leprosy had to go and have the priest verify that they were healed. And so when these men came to Jesus, there were 10 lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And he was making a declaration right then that they were healed. Nothing had happened yet. They still had all the leprosy on them. But the Bible says, as they went, as they moved, as they did something, they were healed. They were made whole. They had to do something. It's not good enough just to get a word from God. We have to do something. We have to move. We have to do something that will bring us closer to our purpose, to our plan. There's a book called The Spark. I've mentioned it before. I don't know if you've ever read it or not. It is about a lady who was bringing up a child with autism. She was just, she was geared for that. I mean, some of the things that she did was just amazing. If you have not read the book, The Spark, I really encourage you to read it. You'll be blessed by reading this story. In the book, Christina Barrett, who's the author of the book, she said, I found my calling, and I always had faith that the money we needed would come in due time. She said, I found my calling, and I always knew that the things that I would have need of would come in due season, in due time. In other words, she was committed to her calling. She found her calling, and she just knew that somehow the things that she needed to fulfill her calling would be there. And if you read the story, it was. It wasn't easy. She doesn't have an easy story, but it shows us that when you know your place, how the things that you need will come your way. At one point, in the book, she said that she called in every favor that she ever, from all her friends that you could think of. And that's an interesting thing when we read that. She called in every favor. She was doing something to help autistic kids, and she knew she needed a lot of stuff, so she called in every favor that she could come from her friends. There is something about knowing your calling that will give you a persistence that you won't hesitate to ask God or even others when necessary for the things that you need to fulfill your calling, once you know your calling. Because once you know your calling, it's not about you anymore. You see, once you know what your purpose is, it's not about you. It's about the purpose that God has put you here for. And if God has put you here for something, he's put in you the things that you need to fulfill that purpose. So now it becomes, it's God's reputation that's up at stake, if you will. Once you know your purpose, you're not afraid to go and ask God and also ask others for the things that you need. You won't hesitate. In other words, if you have a great, awesome plan to help the community in some way, and you just know that this is what you're made for, you'll go and ask anybody for help. And you're not and thinking nothing of it. Whatever God designed you for, whatever God designed you to do, is already on the inside of you. But you must begin. You must do something. No one but you controls your future. Isn't that kind of a sobering thought when you think of it? No one but you controls your future. You can't blame anybody else for where you are today, nor can you blame anyone else for where you're going. Only you. It's you and God. When you get together with God, you can have a great future, but nobody else controls your future. No one. No one. You see, you control your past as well. And that can be a sobering thought as well. We control our lives, whether we want to admit it or not. We have a tendency sometimes to blame others. But we're the ones. We're the ones. And as soon as we take authority in that area and take ownership of where we've been and where we're going, then we have the capability of changing. But unless we are willing to take ownership, we're always putting that out in somebody else. And you know, if I say Janice is the reason for my trouble, I can't change Janice. But if I say I'm the reason for my position, I can change me, but I can't change her. And so when we take ownership, the possibilities can begin to happen in our lives. Have faith in your designer. Believe the best. Trust the process that he has you in. Wherever you're at in life today, trust the process. Trust that God is working in you his purpose and his design. Trust God. Have faith. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Everybody say, love God.
Love God.
Say it again.
Love God.
To those who are called according to his purpose. So there's two things here. That all things will work together for good to those who, number one, love God. So loving God is crucial. Number two, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now the word according there is from a Greek word, and it's spelled K-A-T-A. And it means to move forward or move toward. That's one of the meanings for it. So we know that all things work together for good to those who, number one, love God. Number two, to those who are called according to or moving toward his purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God and are moving toward his purpose for our lives. There's two things. If we want all things to work together for good, we can claim that. Now we are going to have the communion for in a moment. And we're going to gather around the communion table as believers. The Bible says that Jesus came for a purpose. We mentioned some of them. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to bring light into the world. He came to be a perfect sacrifice. But one of the things that it also says that he came to do was he came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Gathering around the communion table is a time where we can receive life. You see, if Jesus came that we might have life and have more and life more abundantly, then the things that he did and the things that he set in place have been designed to impart life to us. So when we partake in the communion together as a family, we are actually partaking in life. Jesus did the things that would help fulfill his purpose. And his purpose, one of his purposes was, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, as you begin moving toward your purpose, you might find that there's quite a number of things that God has called you to and wants you to fulfill. He wants you to fulfill his design. Now, Father, as we go before you this morning, as we go before the communion table, we thank you for the awesome privilege of being able to gather around the communion table as a family. We thank you, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, we can enter into this communion time. And Lord, when we look to your word, we see that there's something, at least the early church believed that there was something special about gathering around the communion table, that there was something special about your presence coming when we gather around the communion table. So, Father, we thank you now for the angelic forces that are released and are watching even what's happening right now as we gather around the communion table. Can you stand with me, please? I want us to think about the presence of Jesus. I want us to think about what he's done for you. When he declared, "Do it in remembrance of me," he was actually declaring that as you remember what I've done for you, that the same power that was available when he instituted the Lord's Supper, the same power that took him to the cross, the same power that raised him from the dead is now available to us. As we remember that, that power is there to bring healing to your body, refreshment to your soul. That power is there to bring and impart life to you.